Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. A pair of young lovers separated by World War I must continue their relationship via letter, despite fears of isolation, loneliness, even death. It's the novel Love Letters from a Doughboy, a World War I love story from author Margie Dowd, based on a set of actual love letters her grandfather wrote her grandmother while he served in World War I. It's Margie's first novel. She has a bachelor's degree in sociology with a minor in drama and speech from the University of Evansville. The daughter of a Methodist minister, she grew up singing in the church and for years a professional singer with the all-female group, the Choral Connection. She also sang with the Charlotte Chorale for several years. Now retired, writing a novel has always been a dream on her bucket list for years. Well, she fulfilled that. Margie Howd, author of Love Letters from a Doughboy, a World War I love story, joining us on This Week in America. Margie, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Rick. How is Hoosierland today?
It is. Everything is fine in Hoosierland. I'm assuming it's as well in Florida. Similar weather. It's very hot and humid.
Yes.
So we're waiting for the weather to break as you are down there. You know, this is such an interesting book, and it has to be special for you because these are your grandparents. As you're reading their letters, you're putting this together. Talk about the inspiration for the book and when you made that decision, you know, I think I'm going to go back and use this as the basis for this novel.
When my mother passed in 2006, we were emptying out her apartment building, her apartment in the apartment building,
yes.
And I had the pleasure of unloading her dresser, drawers. Lots of stuff in there, but at the bottom of the bottommost drawer, I found a stack of letters, and I looked at these and I said, you know, I have three sisters. We were all in there working together, and I said, what are these? And they said, I'm not sure what those are. They said, but you can have them. You can take them home. I said, fine. I'll take them home. I started reading them, and they were love letters from my grandfather Thomas to my grandmother Juliet. Ranging back from 1916 up through 1919, 1920. And it was kind of sweet the way he started out. He would say, you are my best friend. Thank you so much for listening to me. By the end of the four or five years, it was, I love you dearly. You're the most important person in my life. So they had fallen in love with these letters. So that's what motivated me. I thought, you know, this would make a wonderful book. So I started on it in 2006, but it took me forever to get it written because I'd stop and think, you know, maybe this is such a good idea.
Right.
Nobody's going to want to read this book. And then I'd pick it back up a couple years later. So it took me about 6 to 8 years to write it. I wouldn't do that on another book, but I did on this one because it was my first one. I wanted it perfect.
Well, yes, it was special because it was family members that you were talking about in the book. And the letters are fascinating. They come alive. It shows the emotion that your grandfather Thomas is feeling. It also captures what's happening in the war, doesn't it? The fighting in the trenches and what he went through.
Yes, trench warfare was horrible, horrible. And I did a lot of searches on trench warfare via the computer, and it was holy, holy, ungodly down there, you know. Rats would crawl in up and down those trenches, would get full of water with rats. And I did go to see the movie War Horse, which is one of my favorites, but the reason I went is I knew it was about trench warfare.
Yes.
And it showed some really awful scenes, and that's what my grandfather had gone through, fighting in this war. Dad and the mustard gas, and the Germans could have been close enough they could hear him singing in their trenches, so they weren't that far apart. Very interesting.
Yeah,
tough times.
There's always the fear of injury. There's the fear of death that is constant that you bring out in the book. The book we're talking about is Love Letters from a Doughboy, a World War I love story. Margie Howd is the author. Several websites. You'll find the book at bookventure.com in the bookstore. Margie's website is loveletters from a doughboy.com. Great information there as well. And, of course, you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on at that point. And this, once you get the letters, this is what a fictionalized account. You've taken some liberty in writing the stories, but the basis for the whole story is what you found in those letters.
Right. It's fiction based on fact.
Yes.
I guess that's the best way to explain it, because there's a lot of the book that actually happened, but I'm expanding some of that, like at the museum where Juliet worked in Birmingham. There was not a museum back in 1916, so we kind of use that as something that would help us along with our story.
And the story is Love Letters from a Doughboy, a World War One love story. We're talking in the beginning of the book. You've got Juliet Wilcox, and that will end up being Margie's grandmother, talking to George, the father's hired man. And you have this thought that she's expressing. Do you think there is one perfect person for everyone? And when you find that person, just know it. And that sort of sums up the love affair she had with Thomas, your grandfather, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And that's the way it was. It was exactly that way, according to my mother and her sisters. It was like love at first sight for both of them. And Juliet was a very wealthy girl. Her father was a banker in Birmingham, outside of Birmingham, and they had a mansion, and they had... not slaves back then, but they were good friends who had worked with him for years, Natty and George, and then Thomas Fletcher and his family were extremely poor. They grew peanuts and cotton. My mother used to tell me about going out to the cotton fields in the middle of the summer and having to pick cotton. And they did that for years. They were so different. The two lovers were just opposites as far as where they came from.
Yeah, and you laid the groundwork, with the struggles, besides the draft, which was hanging over his head. Eventually he was drafted. But this sort of class difference in Juliet's father, this was not her choice for a husband, was it?
Oh, no. No, he didn't want anything to do with Thomas. He said he was not of their social level. And, you know, it put Juliet in a tailspin, because she already knew she loved this boy. But Dad would have nothing to do with him in the beginning of the book. Now, I'm not going to give it all away. I want your listeners to buy the book.
Yes, buy the book and enjoy the story. The book's available at bookventure.com at the bookstore. You can buy it direct by going to Margie's website, loveletters from a doughboy.com. You can link onto all those by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Thomas gets the draft letter. Things change, don't they, at that point? In fact, Juliet wants to get married. He's afraid he may not return and doesn't want to leave her a widow.
Absolutely. That was true. She wanted that more than anything, and he would not hear of it. Now, they continued their letter writings the whole time that he was in Germany and France. They just weren't as quick coming, of course, but... they continued to write. He continued to write. In fact, I was reading one before you called. I actually have the letters in front of me, and they're torn and they're fading. Old. But I just felt like I had found a priceless discovery in my mother's dresser drawer.
Oh, yes.
And these are quite special to me. I'll keep them forever. But the dates are just so far back from... 1916, 19, I even found one 1914. So,
well, talk about
they were old letters.
Capturing the tenor of the times. I know in one review they talk about what an excellent job you did, because you're going back in time over 100 years, around 100 years in some cases, and you take us back to that period. Talk about writing and reflecting that period, the language, the custom, the clothing, that type of thing.
Well, I did a lot of research. I had to. The dresses, most of them were handmade. Now, for the Fletcher family, that was the case. For Juliet's family, everything was store-bought because they could afford it. But it was a lot of frilly, long skirts. They tied their hair up with bows. Thomas's sisters wore just plain, whatever the mother could make for them. So that's another difference in the way they dressed. But as far as Natty and George were, they had this kind of dialect that took a little bit of getting used to listening to them, but they were dear friends of the Wilcoxes, and as far as everybody knew, they were family members. That's how they treated them. But Natty was a tobacco chewer, and she'd sit on the front porch and chew her tobacco and spit it out over the porch, you know, and Juliet found that a little disgusting. But anytime she had a problem, she'd go talk to Natty, and Natty would set her straight in her own way of talking. The house I envision was like a 5-bedroom, 2-bath house. You know, they had indoor plumbing. I remember my mother telling me they had a long driveway up to the front of the house, which was surrounded by pecan trees. And it was a mansion. In fact, when way back, the house had been in the family for years, but way back in Civil War times, the family hid their silver out in the backyard so the Yankees couldn't get to it. So it was quite a different time than what I was used to. But I found just untold amount of help on the computer and the internet. Awesome. It was totally awesome. And I also did a lot of research on what a doughboy was, which I thought very interesting.
Yeah, an infantryman, I understand, but it comes to life as we follow Thomas as he's over fighting in World War One. The book is Love Letters from a Doughboy, a World War One love story. Margie Howd, H-O-W-D, is the author. Her website is loveletters.com. The book's available at bookventure.com in the bookstore. Time going by way too quickly, but I really want to talk about what this book meant to you. As I said in the beginning, this was your family. Perfection, I think, was a word you said you wanted to make this perfect. Talk about the experience you went through and how you look back and feel on the family now after actually bringing them even more to life, more than just the letters. You gave them words. You gave them life in the book. What was it like in the beginning and writing this book?
In the beginning, it was like a labor of love. I guess that's the best way to explain it. And my husband, I never let him read any of it till it was published. He would come around and he'd watch me, but he said, "Can I read that?" And I said, "No, not yet." But when I would be writing about the trench warfare in Germany and France, I would sit here and bawl, just cry like a baby. It was so emotional for me to think my grandfather was going through these times, which he did, and how Juliet must have felt not knowing where he was or what was happening to him. Part of it was all pure joy to write the book, but the war scenes were extremely tough on me. I found it very hard to put into words what I was feeling. I think I did a fairly good job, but it was really very emotional for me.
When you finished up, how did your thoughts on your grandparents change? As I say, you gave them life, so you're taking all those letters and you're tying them together with the narrative that you provided. I would think that would make you even closer to your grandparents.
Oh, yes. I loved my grandfather, totally loved him. And on the front of the book, I don't know if you've got one there, but the front of the book is my grandfather is on the front of my book. And then you see some words behind that, and those are the actual letters that I had scanned in for the book. So it's all real. It's all real stuff. He was an awesome guy. Very small, tiny framed. When I knew him, of course, he was retired and living in Jay, Florida. He wore a helmet all the time to keep his head. He had a bald head. He didn't want to get sunburned. He had always wore long pants and a long sleeve flannel shirt. Didn't matter what time of year it was. And I would ask him. I'd say, "Grandpa, did you have to shoot Germans?" He said, "Margie, I really don't like to talk about it, but yes, I did. I had to. We were so close to each other, and they came over into our trenches at one point." So, you know, as I was writing this, I was so, I was remembering what he taught me or told me, and how fearful I was of him during these times. It was war is hard stuff, no matter when or where or who's involved with it. But fortunately, he was able to come through it for the most part.
Yes, and you'll follow that story in the book Love Letters from a Doughboy, a World War I love story. Margie Howd, our guest, a couple minutes left in the program. What kind of response do you get from your family? Not, you know, just
my
the
family
sisters?
Loved it.
I can imagine, yes. And how about like grandkids and great-grandkids? That has to put into focus a whole new generation they probably, well, they don't know a lot about or didn't up to this point.
Well, for right now, this is my second marriage. My first husband passed at 45 in 1995. So when I married my present husband, I got 11 grandchildren, all who are older.
Yes.
My grandchildren are younger. They've not read the book. But everybody else has read the book. And I've had such wonderful reviews from the family. I've had great reviews from the people who have read it here in the villages and in Florida. They've been very kind to me, and it's been real encouraging. In fact, I do have a screenplay written on this that could be made into a movie, which I think would be awesome for television.
It should be a movie. The book, you did an excellent job. A minute or so left. I mentioned that sort of on the bucket list was writing a novel. Okay, you did that. A second novel? Are you working on anything else?
I have one in the back of my mind. I'm just not to the point yet. It was a struggle for the first one.
It sounds like it.
It was a labor of love. And I was so proud of it when I did it. But it does take a lot of time and thought and emotion, and I need to be at a place that I can sit down and really think it through. So I already know what it's going to be about, and I know how it ends. So, yeah, I think it's very possible that a second one will be coming along. I've had people begging me to write it, because those of you who are listening out there, when you read the book, you're going to think, I want some more of this.
Exactly.
But I don't give it to you yet.
Exactly. And we hope that there is more coming from Margie Howd, our guest on the program. Now, the book, once again, is Love Letters from a Doughboy, a World War I love story. Margie Howd is the author. That's M-A-R-G-I-E. And Howd is H-O-W-D. Her website's loveletters.com. Very simple to remember the name of the book. And the book is also available from the publisher bookventure.com in the bookstore. All of that, if you're traveling and not remembering all of that, just go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. All there, all you have to do is click on the links and get information on the book. Margie, it was a pleasure having a chance to read the book. Thank you so much for sharing the story with us on the program. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. It was wonderful, and I appreciate you taking the time to kind of explore my book a little bit. I'm quite proud of it.
And well, you should be. The book is Love Letters from a Doughboy, a World War I love story. Margie Howd, the author and our guest. Information available at bookventure.com in the bookstore, and at Margie's website, loveletters.com. And, of course, all of that at thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages. Please stay with us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.